Hello and welcome to the ISCN podcast, the podcast of the International Smart Cities Network. Today we are exploring the city of Masaka in Uganda, and we're doing this together with the city's mayor, Florence Namayanja. Mayor Florence is not your usual mayor. She has participated in the Amali program and specifically also the Amali data program from very early on, shortly after becoming mayor of Masaka. Her initial goal was to plant 3,000 trees to make her city green, clean, and more livable. Because she wants to do this focused and consistent, she builds on data. So today, more than 11,000 trees are planted and documented, and she is continuously improving the city. She's doing this on the one hand by listening and connecting closely to her citizens, especially the young, for which she also introduced a youth desk at the town hall. And on the other hand, she and her team are leveraging data. To steer away from guessing if programs and ideas are successful, towards showing and proving that they are. But let's hear it from herself. Welcome, Mayor Florence Namayanja. So a very warm welcome, Mayor Florence Namayanja, to this episode of the International Smart Cities Network podcast. It is such an honor to have you here today, Mayor Florence, and I'm so excited to hear all about what is happening in the city of Masaka. Yeah, welcome. My first question, Mayor, would be, how would you describe the city itself, Masaka, to someone who has never been there?
The city of Masaka, first of all, can give a small background of where Masaka is located and how it came to be a city. Masaka started to be a city in the year 2020, because before it was a municipality and now it was elevated to city status. The municipality had 46 square kilometers, and now the city has 362.4 square kilometers. The city is big, and these annexed areas are rural. So we are partly rural with the 46 square kilometers that are planned. The rest of the city, we are grappling to start planning and placing zones in the right place. Masaka City is located south of Kampala, the capital city. So as you go to the border, Rwanda, to the border, Tanzania, to Congo, and even Kenya, we are surrounded with Lake Victoria, any route. So this city is a center of attraction. We are south of the equator.
And I also read about Masaka. So you said it's become a city in 2020, and I read that it was only founded in the 1950s. So it's a very young city as well. And I saw that the population growth has been enormous. So I just need to look at my notes. In 2002, there were almost 70,000 inhabitants. And by now, in 2024, there's an estimated 285,000 people living in Masaka. So that would be more than four times the inhabitants within just 25 years, not even. How have you been dealing with this rapid growth of inhabitants in the city?
Yeah, because of urbanization, people tend to come to the city much faster because there is the amenities within the cities are more than where they live in the urban. So, and the other issue is the neighborhood. When there is insecurity, like the Congo, the Rwanda, people tend now to look for safer areas to live. We are so accommodative in my city, and that aspect of inclusivity brings people to get comfort. So that's why the population is growing day by day and very fast.
So how do you as a city accommodate so many new people in such a short time? I mean, what are the challenges that you're facing?
Of course, the challenges of urbanization, enormous unemployment, security, all those are challenges. Sometimes you find that people are grappling to get for where to sleep, to get sufficient accommodation is a challenge. Like many other cities, even having services could be a problem, like clean water, energy for cooking is a major issue. And this has resulted into environment degradation because people are looking for cooking. They cut down trees to get charcoal and firewood so that they can cook food. It's a major challenge to us. Then Masaka is an agricultural city. Because it is an agricultural city, we don't have many cottage industries for value addition. That is another challenge. You've talked about what is a challenge. As the population comes, then we get slums, unplanned settlements. And because people look for cheaper areas to settle, they go to swamps, swampy areas, lower areas, because they cannot afford to live upstream. So it is also a challenge because they end up degrading the environment, the swamps, the forests. Those are the major challenges we are faced with. And even having no industries in my city, because it is young, we have not yet got industries to cater for the economic activities.
So we were just talking about also the environmental issues that you've just been describing, that is sort of one part that came with the big growth of inhabitants. And from what I heard is that this is also a little bit one of the reasons that you joined the AMALI data program. And the AMALI data program, it stands for African Mayoral Leadership Initiative. Can you tell us more about why you thought it was relevant for you to join this data program and how it links to the challenges that you've just described?
Yeah, joining the AMALI helped me a lot to structure my city aspirations. As an incoming mayor, we had just come to office. I had just joined. Then I got this opportunity. And since then, by joining AMALI, I've actually achieved a lot because they have been advising me, and forming a legacy goal was a dream I had never realized would come true. But when we joined AMALI as mayors, we had to put across our legacy goals, which up to now is driving my political atmosphere, because everybody now is looking at me as a focused, very articulate on issues and very consistent. So when AMALI came in, they were looking at supporting Masaka City to have a database, which we have actually done with Lesego and Tiffany And we are progressing. We developed a data tool, which we are using to track. I'm so grateful to Amali.
And you said you are using a data tool. What are you currently tracking in the city? Can you describe this a bit more in detail?
We started by, of course, I had a dream of having planted trees. But then it came to our mind that even as we plant trees, we need to know how many trees were found in existence. How many trees are we adding on? And how many trees are being destroyed or because of human behavior or maybe because of climate or other conditions. So this drove me to track, and we are now tracking the number of trees planted, number of trees that existed, and we are progressing so well.
And you basically are using the information to show the developments, like where the trees sort of are in the city. What have you been able to achieve by just getting an overview of the number of trees?
Yeah, like in schools, at highways, open spaces, we get to know how we stand. And then when we come up with a program, it guides us at which places we need to focus on more. So that is something which is ongoing and it is being properly guided.
And for the data program, so you said it helped you structure the information and really go about the plans that you had for planting trees more strategically. What was the challenge before you started working with the Amali data program for you specifically? Was it that you didn't know how many trees there were, or was there a specific challenge that you faced?
You see, when you are doing something and it is ambiguous, you get confused. So we wanted to know the tree species that we are putting in, whether for fruits, whether for shades or ornamental trees. It becomes very easy for us when we are planning to know how many we need, the specific types, and the coverage that we need to put in those trees. It becomes very easy for us after getting the support from the Amali. We have had stories to tell. We have got people who have joined us, and we are now even developing a map to indicate how we are moving.
That's fantastic. So basically, just the fact that you were able to show what has been done in terms of planting new trees, you were able to convince more people to join the effort, to support your efforts. Is that correct?
Yes, even development partners. When we applied for Youth Climate Action Fund, we were able to get guidance from the same program. We have been guided on how to address the climate challenges that we are faced with. We even now know how many trees from that program we have put, because we cannot continue doing the same things. We now know how we stand and which direction to take. Collecting data is not about trees alone. We as municipality, as a city, we need to know how many residents we have, what they are doing. We need to know our revenue base, how much is collected. We need to know the number of properties that are within the city, so that when we are collecting property tax, we actually know the potential. So collecting data is something that we need as a city.
This is fantastic as a first sort of use case, and it's incredible to hear how, and for, you know, some people they might think, oh yeah, they just counted trees basically, but it's, as far as I understand, about so much more, right? It's about really getting the insights and being able to report on your successes within the city. Have you already been thinking about some next ideas of what you want to do beyond the trees and sort of the urban planning aspect of this? So how do you apply what you've learned as part of the Amali data program for future use cases as well?
Yeah, because this is a city. And as you are aware, I've already told you that my legacy goal is having a clean, green, livable city. This is a city that needs to be well planned with infrastructure, roads, stormwater drainages, even housing properly placed with the clear pathways. But also the other issue which I want to focus on majorly is waste management. We are having a lot of challenges with waste management. From the discussions and the networks we have had with Amali and other stakeholders, we realize that waste can be a resource if properly managed. And that is my next focus, like you asked. It's my area of focus. Waste can be processed, it can be recycled, it can be used for animals' feeds, it can be used for manure back in the gardens. Mm-hmm. Masaka City is an agricultural city. Mm-hmm. So waste can also add value. But because it is not managed, it is a public nuisance.
I really like how you are aiming to sort of bring these two sides of Masaka together for this waste use case. As you said, like, there is this rural side, the agricultural side to the city, but also the urban issues that come by a city growing that fast, and to sort of bring this together is a really nice way forward. Did I understand correctly that you are also able within the Amali program to exchange with the other cities and to, yeah, exchange knowledge, insights, and learn from each other?
Great. Through the program, we are able to visit Addis Ababa, where digitalization has actually transformed the city. And when we went to Addis Ababa, there is a lot of technological advancement. If such can also be replicated to our other cities, we can actually, as African cities, we can move faster. That's why whenever I speak in any gathering or meeting, I boast about Amali because of exposure. I've been in so many other places. I was in Mexico, I was in Washington, and each time I come back home, I come back with new lessons, which I introduce to the technical team and political team that I work with, we are now looking at also coming up with improving on transportation, though it is still a big challenge, but we are focused from what we are learning from peer to peer.
I really like how you're taking all these ideas that you see from other countries, from other cities, and bring it home basically to your city, to Masaka, and see how you can take these ideas to learn and solve your local challenges like transport, waste, but also the environmental aspects. How difficult is it usually? Because taking a step back, when I talk to cities in Germany or Europe, oftentimes there is this, we have a lot of ideas, but sometimes it's challenging to change the way how people have been working. And I'm just wondering, how is it in Masaka? Is it equally difficult sometimes to bring new ideas in, or is it a whole different culture?
Yeah, the major challenge is resources, financing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have ambitious plans, but what limits us to achieve these or have these goals achieved are the finances. Mm-hmm. We collect revenue, and central government sometimes looks at giving us, not looking at our priorities as we set them, and fulfilling our budgets becomes a problem. So the major constraint that we are faced with as a city in Masaka and as a mayor are the resources. Because we sometimes set timelines, but timelines without resources are also a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is something that I can relate to very well. Timelines without resources are very hard to achieve. How did sort of also the Amali data program help you maybe in becoming more efficient internally? So by using data, collecting data on a regular basis for certain topics, is it now also easier for you and your team and for the city team to tackle some of the issues?
Definitely, because when you have data, you are speaking from an informed point of view. Mm-hmm. You are speaking from knowledge, and planning becomes very easy. You know how many people you are planning for, what resources you need to achieve that specific plan. And without data, sometimes you look weird. You don't look smart because you are asked questions, you cannot even defend what you are putting across. But if you know, for instance, you are planning to collect money from a market, and you know how many people are in that market, what kind of trade they are dealing in, how much you expect to get out, it becomes easier because you have a basis. But if you don't have this data, you are just guessing. And I'm so grateful to Amali because they have assisted. My technical team has appreciated the Amali initiative of using data because it was a challenge. I remember when we started with Lesego, we are struggling to have these, even technical people, they were getting shy to give information because it was uninformed. So the failure for us is now sometimes not getting basic tools to use and gadgets. Otherwise, the approach on having data is a reality and everybody must appreciate it.
Yeah, I really like how clear you formulate this, Maya. So this fact that without data, you're just guessing, and with data, you can really make a case for your goals, for the ambitions, and also for showcasing all the improvements that have been done through your initiatives that you started also in Masaka. You said earlier in the conversation that your legacy goals down to three specific goals. It's for Masaka to become green, clean, and livable. And I was wondering, yes. I mean, green and clean, I can sort of, also understand, and also clean. We talked a little bit about the waste management plans that you have, but also green in terms of planting trees for shade, for other reasons, for it also points towards livability. But I'm wondering, when is Masaka a livable city for you?
Yeah, it's a gradual process that we are going through, because it's not about housing alone. It goes along with having specific amenities in place, like having good roads, having good open spaces, having areas of happening livable with no household, without clean water, without access to transport, without access to planned housing, planned public open spaces cannot be achieved. Livable can only be achieved if those are in place. But at the moment, like I said, we are coming from very far. We are coming from a rural setting now to an urbanized, well-organized city, like many other cities would be. So we need all these in places. And why I call it a legacy, it is a gradual process we are having to go through to achieve it. We cannot achieve it in a day. We can only achieve that by continuing and being persistent and looking for opportunities, looking for partners, and attracting other developed countries to come and assist. When I talked about unclean ways of cooking, like firewood, charcoal for cooking. If we get an environment where cooking is clean, people are using gas or electricity, then I can say this is a livable city because it has no pollution and everything is clean.
When we also talk about livable, I'm wondering, Mayor Florence, what is your favorite place in the city and why?
I have a city that has beaches. I have a city that has a Ramsar site. I have a city that has historical cultural sites, like where our traditional people used to live. We have a city with religious sites, the oldest religious sites, the churches, situated in my city. And the best place I like to go to Lake Victoria has a place, part of Lake Nabugabo. It's called Lake Nabugabo. It's a Ramsar site where many people from the West come to watch birds. During when it is winter, people come to my place here to trace the birds. It's nice, and it's a place for one to want to come to and visit.
That sounds wonderful, and I think that might also be, you know, a good idea to come to Masaka then also to explore your favorite place.
You're most welcome. We shall entertain you when you come.
Oh, I will take you up on this, Maya Namayanya. This is definitely something I will take you up on. I've never been to Uganda before, so for me it would be definitely quite exciting to explore Uganda, but also Masaka then, and to see how your city is currently, how it looks like, how it's growing, and also to explore like what you've been doing together with your team in the city. So my last question would be, and I mean, we talked a little bit about it, about your plans for new programs and new ideas. What is next on your agenda for the city of Masaka? What is the next steps towards becoming green, clean, and livable?
Like I said, it is a gradual process. I cannot say we have achieved the green up to what we want. We are continuing. I cannot say we have achieved the cleanliness that we want. It's just the beginning. So as being a gradual process, we are moving step by step on each and every aspect, because even planning, physical planning, is a process. We approved a physical development structure for the city, which is guiding us now to place everything that we want. I want to see the city dwellers use clean energy. This means the trees we have planted will be secure. So all these are steps that I'm looking at. But like I said, I have limitations to achieve this.
Thank you very much, Maya Florence, for sharing your insights about Masaka and how you've been using data as well to plant more trees in the city, to make, you know, your case for this specific topic. I wish you and also the trees in Masaka all the best of success for the next years. And yeah, I'm very curious to see where your approach will lead you towards also in the next years, yeah, towards becoming a green, clean and livable city. And I wish you the best of success. And thank you so much, Maya Florence Namayanya, for joining this podcast.
I want to thank you so much for this conversation and the International Smart Cities Network for hosting me. I thank Tiffany and Lesego so much. Those are my buddies, if I can say. They have made me, they are making me, and I love it. I thank you so much.
So as we've just heard, Maya Namayanja is not just pioneering in the field of data-based and evidence-based policymaking in Uganda, she's also a great networker. She shows and tells Masaka's success story, and at the same time, she uses the networking to collect new ideas from all around the world, be it Addis Ababa, Mexico City, or Washington, D.C. The story of Masaka shows once again the power of data, but also the importance of a peer-to-peer network to connect, exchange, and learn from each other. For Maya Namayanja and the citizens of Masaka, the journey towards a green, clean, and more livable city will for sure continue. Stay tuned.